This show is pre-recorded and cannot accept your calls, giving you a great opportunity to sit back, listen, and enjoy.
It is Friday, September 12th. I am your host, Tina Marie, and you are listening to 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way we view magic, we open up to magic, we allow that magic into our lives, and today, into our relationships. Before we get started, I would love it if you could join us in the Facebook chat room by going to 12radio.com, click on the chat button. It'll take you to a group. Just hit join and we will accept you right here into the group where you can post your questions privately or your comments. And today I'm going to do my best to really multitask and get to all of you in there, sending you my love. That's the main way we're going to do questions today is through the chat room, because I have a guest that I'm going to introduce in a moment, and we're going to just get into the flow of conversing about relationships, romance, passion, possibly sex. I mean, we don't know anything to do with relationships. But before we jump into that, I do want to let you know that it is 1-2 day on 1-2 Listen. What does that mean? Well, it is a time of the month that we celebrate you. And the way we do that is reducing the rates over at 12listen.com. There's many advisors over there right now. And I'll be over there later this afternoon after the show. And that way you can get a reading, get some support, get a healing. We also have reduced sessions if you want to purchase a time-based session. And so check those out as well as email-based sessions where you can ask one question or more. So you can go over to 12listen.com. I also want to thank my producer, Scott, because I feel every week it gets to the end of the show and I'm so caught up in the topic and I don't get a chance to thank him. And then I always thank him after the show and he says, I'm just doing my job. You don't have to thank me. So I'm thanking him now. And I want to thank Mark Husson, the founder of All 1-2, as we call him, just for the opportunity to be here on the radio. Also, you can go over to my website, tinamarie444.com, and if you sign up for my mailing list, you'll get a free MP3 prayer meditation, and that way we can stay in contact. So, let's just delve right here into my guest, because I'm so excited to have him on. A few weeks ago, I had Reverend Nirvana Gale on, if you remember. He's a minister at the Agape, well, he's a teacher at the Agape International Spiritual Center, has his own church as well in Los Angeles, but I had learned and taught and got to experience his energy at Agape, and that is how I met my guest today, Barry Selby. And before I, you know, completely introduce his credentials, I'm honored to have Barry on because he was my practitioner. What does that mean? Well, people say my astrologer, people say my counselor. It's similar. At Agape, we have licensed practitioners, which is someone to support you along your journey. And Barry was mine for a really long time, and he has since then grown and blossomed, and now, yes, he is known as not only the love doctor, he was formerly the passion consultant, so I'm going to ask him, how did it change to now being the love confidant? He is the author of 50 Ways to Love Your Lover. He created the Romance Blueprint, and we're going to talk about all this. And He is a professional speaker, obviously a published author, and he really is an expert on transforming your relationships. I really think his mission is to empower his clients, as he empowered me way back in the day, to really create a conscious and passionate deep relationship, first with yourself, so that then you can attract that divine and perfect relationship. And so I'm just so excited to get you on. Barry, are you listening? Are you here with us?
I'm absolutely with you, yes.
Oh, I'm so glad. And now you get to hear his brilliant and beautiful accent. I held that back from you.
That's okay.
So, Barry, how are you this morning? Thanks for being here. I know it's a little early on the West Coast.
Yes, it was stretching me just a touch. I mean, I'm not usually a late sleeper. However, as I get functional, get present, and get ready before my normal wake-up time was just pushing just a touch. But it's a beautiful day here, and it's going to be hot later on. So actually, this time of day is nicer. It's not too hot yet. So I'm actually kind of enjoying this moment in between.
Even just hearing you say, it's a beautiful day here. You can probably hear my producer, Scott, chuckle, because every week I've just talked about this hard transition from L.A. to New York, and you know because you're there, so I'm not even going to get into that. But I do want to jump right in to, you've helped me for years, obviously, through all of the Agape training, and now you've evolved to do more with relationships. So first, I just want to ask, how did it shift from that? Even though I know a lot of the same principles are there in the work, but what got you into being that passion consultant, that love confidant?
Taking you back just a little bit, I've been on this journey and been in the spiritual path, conscious growth journey for at least over 25 years now. And my, my wake up call my kick in the butt happened after the last breakup I had in a relationship. And I had three relationships in a row that had the same experience. And these were all in the 2000s. So I'd already done, 15 years of work or 20 years of work, something like that at that point. Yet I still couldn't do relationships properly based on the fact that I had three breakups that had the same exact experience for me. When that happened, the light bulb went off. I mean, almost literally. I was going, okay, this is not right. There's something wrong here. I mean, obviously it's not them, it's me. And that was the biggest wake up, of course. And having done this work, and we all know, hopefully, that the work begins inside anyway. It's not about the other person. Usually, it usually starts with us. Right. And so I said, okay, I need to figure out what's going on. And I, at that point, already was licensed as a practitioner for 6 years. This is in the end of 2006 when this happened. And I already had my master's degree in spiritual psychology, and I already had all this stuff, qualifications, yet I still wasn't doing relationships as good as I, in theory, could have done. And that's what started me on a much deeper quest and a more focused study of relationships, particularly the masculine-feminine polarity, which I realized I had got crosswired, that's the word, and was choosing to find partners where the women were more powerful in the masculine than I was. I didn't know that at the time by labeling it. I just realized that I was disempowering myself, and mm-hmm. I was also disempowering them. And so once that became clear, and it took a few years of deep study myself, one of the biggest wake-up calls for me was to find my own mission in life, find my own purpose and reason for being. And I was very passionate about that, which is where one of my friends, a coach who was helping me, branded me the Passion Consultant, because I was so juiced up about this. So that became the title for a while. And truth was that I was still learning. I mean, I'm teaching now and speaking, and I've got written my book, and I've already got half another book in my head that I haven't really thought about writing, but it continues to unfold and grow. And so for me, the joy is helping others have that experience of relationship where they're missing, because I saw what I had learned and what I was missing. I could see in the world was very obvious that many other people hadn't got that yet.
Isn't it so interesting? It's through our own experience of what isn't working that drives us to explore that. And then when we can master it in some way, then begin to share it with others, which is so beautiful.
Yeah.
I heard you say too, so, I love it. It's not about anybody else. It's always about us,
yes.
Which, of course, we know that, but I've watched some of your, listened to some of your other audios and videos, and so it struck some things for me. And so I thought it'd be great to start off with how our relationship with our parents affect our romantic relationships, because I've heard you share a little bit about that. And is that in your opinion, the biggest thing that affects us at first?
At first, yes. I mean, the other things can impact people more dramatically and traumatically during life, but certainly the way I've said it in one of my recent videos where I talked about how our subconscious sort of guides the ship, even though we think we have control, it's almost being silly. We think we're driving the car, but really the person in the back seat, our subconscious, is driving the ship. That's that's really the 5 to 8 year old inside of us, because we learn at a very young age, because we have this thing in the world called role models, our parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts, all the adults around us when we're 3, 4, 5 years old, who are doing relationship as far as we can tell, and we believe that's the law, that's the way it is, that's the way it should be. So we take the imprint on of those relationships and think that's how we should do them. And so if anybody out there looks at their own history, now it may not be very obvious in some cases, but usually it is fairly clear when you look back, because hindsight's 20/20, you'll see things in your past that are resonant and similar to what our upbringing was as a kid. Now in my case, I grew up in a family, a small family, back in England. My parents have been together until my mother passed away in 2012, almost 60 years. And never any cross words I was aware of, never any major upsets and rows in the family. And we were ungrateful in a lot of ways. We had what was looked like a perfect family because my parents, there was no drugs or alcohol, no abuse, none of that stuff. But basically what happened, even in that beautiful environment, was I took on some beliefs about relationship that I couldn't match up to. So my early dating life in my teens and 20s, when I was going out with girls, we'd have a wonderful, lovely time, and I'd put them on a pedestal, made a great, wonderful time. But about a few months into it, pretty much like clockwork, there'd be an argument or an upset for something that didn't happen, where I screwed up, or they had something, and we'd have an argument. And as soon as it happened, I would leave, because my logic had written in my head that loving meant no arguments, because my parents never had one in front of me. So anytime there's an argument, there wasn't love, therefore I had to leave because it wasn't a relationship. I mean, the logic was so clear, insane, but clear. So, you know?
Right, yeah.
So it doesn't matter how good or bad our parental relationship is or whatever we had, if our parents were around or not, if it was abusive or abandoning or addicted, those patterns will show up in our own choices in relationship because it fits the model of what love looks like to us. It's not saying it's a good thing, I'm just saying what is. So it takes conscious effort and awareness and learning to change that. It's not a life sentence. It's just that what we're trained to be initially, that we can change that going forward.
Right. But I think first you have to know what those patterns are. So do you think that having those patterns, those habits, or whatever that past experience is, that we keep attracting that same kind of experience or that same kind of person until we get it?
Well, it depends. Because for some people to repeat that pattern is that sense of home as well, because truth again, those of us who grew up in families that stayed together, even the ones that broke up, there was something about that family unit that was home for us internally, in our hearts. So we'll keep trying to repeat the cycle because it makes us feel good, even though there's a side effect, which is the pain or suffering or the hurt, whatever it is that comes along with it. So some people will never learn it because it's just simply the way it is. But to take extreme examples, there was, and I'll just throw this one in, we'll explain in a second how. There was a report in the news, it's going to make several years ago now, in the South, where there was a domestic violence case reported to the police. And the police showed up at the house. The two officers went into the house, came out dragging this big, beefy husband in his wife beater shirt out to the police car. Between them, as they're dragging him out, they're halfway down the path from the house to the car. The wife comes to the door, beaten, bloodied, black eye, looking really bruised and hurt. And she walks out from the front door with a kitchen knife in her hand. Now, she runs up behind the officers and her husband, raises the knife, and you think what she's going to do, and she doesn't. She actually sticks the knife in one of the officers.
Wow.
And it's like, you know, the insanity is, what was going on? When she was interviewed afterwards, after she had calmed down from hysteria, she said that basically what she had felt was the police officers were removing her only sense of love in the house. Because as much abuse as she was going through, her husband was, in her mind, loving her based upon her upbringing because she came from an abusive background. Now, that's an extreme case because it's very graphic. Mm-hmm. It also illustrates the point that we all have that same innate and unconscious patterning inside. That is, we want to repeat the same thing we grew up with because that's what loving means to us. However confused distorted that might be. So right. It really is true for all of us. And some of it's simple, some of it's more complex. But the truth is, I believe in some ways, and it's, I'm not sure it's, I can't say it's research for this, but addictions are not hereditary in genetics, they're hereditary in behavior.
Wow. That's so interesting, because it reminds me of they haven't stopped playing the video of the whole Ray Rice, the football player, where he, you know, he knocked his wife over and now she's like all upset with everybody because I guess that was their dynamic. And it's a similar, you know, not as extreme, but it's interesting because obviously if that's the way that she's getting attention, I think maybe a lot of people with that extreme situation of abuse, it's attention. And kids, think of kids when they act out. Any attention is good attention. So it depends on what their experience is.
And that's the thing also with parenting kids. I mean, I'm not a parent, so I'm just taking what I've learned from other people. It is clear with kids that if you reward a behavior, it will be repeated. It's true of anybody, really. So if you reward a behavior that is constructive, then you'll get more of that. If you reward a behavior that's destructive, you'll get more of that. It's simply a choice. And because, again, as kids, when we're younger than 4 or 5 years old, we aren't cognizant and conscious of what we're doing. It's all learned behavior, and it's going like a sponge. We're absorbing the world around us and figuring out what works or doesn't work. And as we get rewarded, we think that works. And if we get punished, we think that doesn't work.
So now how do you come in, Barry? So having all this experience and having this awareness, because I haven't even thought of it to this depth, which is like I'm sitting here going, wow, yeah. And people in the chat room are saying, wow, great examples. Love the examples. So obviously it's enlightening people. So how do you come in with whether it's an extreme example like that or not to help become aware? Because as you know, if you're not aware, how can you work on something like this? But obviously if someone is coming to you, they're aware that they need help. So then where do you come in to right. I don't want to say fix it, but to counsel?
Well, the thing is, in my work, and in my videos and in my work, I talk about this all the time, there are three main areas to focus on, which sounds so simple. Basically, you've got to clear about where you're going, clear about where you've been, and clear about yourself now. So it's really the future, the past, and the present. So any conversation I have with clients who want to have a better relationship, because usually they come because they either can't find what they want, or they're getting what they don't want, usually it's one of those two things. And that usually starts with, okay, so what is it you really want first? But as I've said in my most recent video that I put up on YouTube about the law of attraction working the way it does, is that we get frustrated when we're not getting what we think we want because we're getting something else. And that's true in every area of life, not just relationships. It could be about money or career or spiritual path, whatever that is. We find we're not getting exactly what we asked for. And for most of us, that happens. And what's going on is, again, back to the subconscious I mentioned earlier, it's kind of like having two people driving the ship. One of them's the conscious mind, and one of them's the subconscious mind. And the subconscious mind and the conscious mind are integrated into who we are. But the conscious mind is the one we're aware of. When we wake up in the morning, we look around and see the world, and we go out and do things in the world. That's the conscious mind in action. But the reactions we have without thinking about it, the automatic behaviors we have, those are the subconscious mind because that's the programming we bought into and took on when we were younger. So when it comes to relationships, again, we may be saying, well, I want a relationship that's going to be this, 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 and this. We have a vision board and everything's wonderful. However, what we will attract, as you mentioned, will attract people to us who may look like the picture we've created, but the behaviors and the experiences we have are going to be resonant to what we had before because that's the automatic pilot. So when I'm working with a client who's come to see me and wants to create amazing relationships because my primary audience is single women, although I do work with couples and single men as well, the first thing I'm going to say is, okay, what is it you want to create? What's your map? What's your vision of where you want to go? Great. Now, at this point, has it happened? And 9 times out of 10, it hasn't because they want something better than they had before. So my question is then, what have you had before? And working through basically various practices I have, including forgiveness and also it's called healing of memories. It comes from my master's program. Basically going back in time to find the first time they had the experience that didn't work, and we go through a healing process to release it so it no longer becomes the guiding principle. And it does require a willingness because it's not something you just say, okay, fix it in 2 minutes, otherwise everyone will be doing it. But it is something that I find is fascinating but also so rewarding when somebody walks free of that old pattern that no longer serves them. That's the joy of the work.
Oh, I love that, because one of the things I was going to ask you is how do we keep from bringing our own stuff into each relationship, and also the other and like uncovering what that, you know, issue is so that we don't repeat it. But at the same time, a lot of times we're going to attract someone to to help us. Like, A Course in Miracles says there's no chance encounters, that every relationship is an assignment, which is which is great, because we get to learn and grow through being with that other person. But then at some point, like when people come to you, it's like, all right, I'm done learning. Now I just want this. You know, what if I want the divine and perfect partner? So, like, I guess my question to you is, you know, when there is still work to do, I guess, you know, so many people will say to me, when's my soulmate coming? And you know, in a reading, or when, you know, and I believe you can have many soulmates.
Yes,
to keep, you know, I really do. So then how, or like, and I know I'm covering a lot of things right now, but like women whose biological clock is ticking, and then they might settle for someone that isn't who they would, you know, would be that divine partner. So where do you find where it's just an experience and you enjoy the relationship for what it is, and where it's that divine partnership that's going to last?
Well, it's really a matter of choice. And part of the choice is to really do the work first before you get into a relationship.
Right.
So you can save yourself all the pain and suffering that comes with some of the bad choices. I mean, I said I had three relationships that really happened the same way. And basically, I found partners were more masculine than I was. It became very clear to me that I had to step clear myself and do my own work before I could be in relationships. I took a hiatus from relationships to get clear myself and done my own work. I'm trying to make sure I answer the questions. You had like four questions in there. Yes, I agree with you. Yes, we have multiple soulmates. I've crossed paths with at least three people in my life who were soulmates in previous lives, but not this time. And So there was initial frustration because one of them was beautiful, but she was already in a relationship. But I also felt after we spoke and sat and chatted for a while, the recognition of like we were ships passing in the night, that we knew we weren't meant to be this time, but we were just racing. It's almost like nodding each other going, I know you, I value what we had, and another time perhaps, but not this time. And it was just a very interesting experience. So I know about multiple soulmates in the real world, in versus having the one soulmate. However, it's possible, and I've seen it done, where people get together when they're both doing their own work, and it's not when you're done with the work, because one of my favorite authors, Richard Bach, in Illusions, said there's a way to find out if your mission on Earth is finished. If you're still here, it isn't. So if you are looking for a relationship that's going to be perfect and not require any work, you better wait it off the planet, because truth is every relationship is going to require something. Because if you want to be in a relationship that doesn't require any work, you're going to get bored and your partner will too. It's the fact that you're going to choose to grow together. The key, though, is when you've done a lot of the work of the healing yourself and you're with a partner that's conscious about that. So you're both being cheerleaders for each other. You're inspiring each other. And also, if one of you has something come up, the other partner holds the space for you to heal it versus running away or panicking or judging you for it, which old relationships would do.
Right. You know, that's so interesting, too, because so much of my experience when I work with clients is they get to a point where one is awakening to the spiritual path and the other isn't. And so there's like this fork in the road. There's like this turning point of, are we going to grow together or are we going to grow apart? And that's kind of what that's what you're saying as well, is that other person going to hold the space for your growth and come along with you, or is it the person not going to be conscious? And again, it's choice, and then it becomes the choice of, okay, am I going to stay in this and know that this is where my relationship has halted, or have the courage to make changes? And there's no right or wrong, but it's so interesting that it does become a very common thread, especially when people are awakening to spirituality.
Yes. And that's the thing I was going to say, one quick thing in my book, I talk about the rubber band analogy. That's the thing, is when you are in a relationship, because relationship and again, talking about the book, is a spiritual practice. Now, it's a spiritual practice when you're conscious of it, but it's also a spiritual practice when you're not. And so it is about becoming aware and awake to what's possible, what's growing in your relationship. So the rubber band analogy I've used before is, you can imagine that when two people are in a relationship, there is a tension on the relationship. And that tension basically is a nice attraction, and it's that chemistry is looking, keeps it going juicy, going along with juice in it, with passion. When one awakens, and it can be through trauma, but it usually happens through some sort of practice or discovery or teacher, there's a tension point on the relationship that's even greater, so it stretches the rubber band out further. And then one of those three things happens, as you mentioned, two of them, which is basically the partner has grown, looks at the other partner and goes, come on, this is great. The other person goes, yes, I want some of that. So when they do that, the tension on the relationships lessens and then becomes more into balance and homeostasis again. The other thing can happen is the person who has not grown is so attracting to the person who has started growing and learning. The person who has seen a new path decides the path is not as important as their partnership, and they release it and go back to where they were in the relationship. But the challenge with this growth journey is that what happens most of the time, which is the truth, is that when one person grows, the other person doesn't, the tension grows so great that the rubber band breaks and the person leaves because the person values their own growth more than the relationship, which is not a bad choice. It's actually usually the wiser choice if their relationship is not growing with them, because our own journey is really what we're here for. And it's better, it's ideal, preferable, and intentional if you're creating a vision of your relationship, is you attract somebody with you who will do the same thing with you so you can do it together.
Oh, and I think that's what everybody really honestly is searching for. And I love, Barry, though, that you said, you know, hopefully you do the work on yourself first so that you're not going through all the pain through all those relationships. But then, you know, there is a beauty, too, as much as there is pain and heartache, where we do learn what works and what not works. We learn what is happening for us that we want to continue and what we need to work on, at least hopefully.
Yeah.
I can't believe that we're almost at a break already. I want to talk about your book more. I want to talk about the masculine and feminine polarity thing, because I think that's really important for people in existing relationships when things like that whole excitement starts to die or relationships
yes.
go sour. And then I have some really good questions that people have already posted that I'd love to dive into as well.
Okay.
So thank you all for listening. We're just going to take a short break. You're listening to The Magic Hour. I'm your host, Tina Marie, and we have Love Confidant Barry Selby with us. We'll be coming right back. Put your questions in the chat room if you'd like us to answer. Thank you so much. See you soon.
Lifelong education keeps you young. Christy Brower. The best source of knowledge is experience. Lori Lines. Lifelong education changes your life in ways that will blow your mind, break your heart, and birth your soul. Christine Dumarier. When we stop learning, we begin to stop living. Nancy Newman. We learn every second of every day. Education is honoring that powerful fact. Mo Abdelbaki. This is Katie Weaver, and I am an instructor at 1-2 Academy. I would like to invite you to join me and my colleagues at 1-2academy.com, where you can find a wide variety of classes based on metaphysical and spiritual topics. At 1-2 Academy, we believe that lifelong education contributes to the richness and fullness of life.
It's a celebration.
It's a celebration at 1-2listen.com. Come join the party for 1-2 Day.
Come on and celebrate.
Our advisors are celebrating with reduced phone rates and specials on time-based sessions and email readings.
Let's celebrate.
Give yourself a little peace of mind at 1-2listen.com.
If you're lost, you can look and you will find me time after time.
At 1-2listen.com, we know sometimes you just need a little time. Our new service, Time-Based Sessions, give you just that. Now you can choose a block of time to spend with your favorite advisor and schedule it whenever it is convenient for you. We are here for you whenever you need us.
If I could save time in a bottle, the first thing that I'd like to do.
Do you ever wish you could put time in a bottle? Well, I'm not sure that's possible, but time is something we can play with. Like the time-based services on 1-2listen.com. You can purchase a block of time, let's say 20, 30, 40, or even 60 minutes at a flat rate. You can even buy it during one of our special sales. Then you can use those minutes for a session with your favorite advisor at a time that's good for you. Buy it today and use it today, or tomorrow, or whenever. Check out all the time-based sessions being offered by the 1-2listen.com advisors on the homepage of the website. Under the pictures, click on the TBS link. Or click on the picture or name of your favorite advisor and check out their time-based sessions on their bio page. Yes, maybe we can put time in a bottle.
When a true classic really moves you, it tends to continue to move you for years to come. Regardless of your age, the sound of hope never really gets old. And though I'm old enough to remember where I was when Diana Ross belted out this iconic opening,
if you need me,
a part of me is young enough to still be moved by the meaning of someone being there when I need them. Me and my 1-2 family want to remind you that we have dedicated our lives to the learning the skills that allow us to reach you and to be there if you need us. From astrology to clairvoyance to life coaching, my team is tough enough to not only weather their life storms, but yours as well. So if you need us, call us. You know the rest. 1-2listen.com. Our strength is in our oneness.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Magic Hour. I am your host, Tina Marie, right here on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way we bring magic today into our relationships. Right before the break, Barry Selby, my guest, the love confidant, and I have just been talking about patterns in relationships, the relationship with your parents, and how that affects your relationships. We're going to delve even further into the subject matter and get to some of these amazing questions that are in the chat room and sitting here that you guys have given to me before. Before I get to the first question, what I would like to ask you, Barry, is that when the excitement dies in a relationship, if you want to call it that, let's just be blunt, because it happens. I know there's an ebb and a flow in every relationship, but I heard you say something about the masculine and feminine polarity being the reason why excitement dies, whether you are spending too much time together or whether you stop doing what you used to do prior to a relationship. And how this can contribute to the quote-unquote excitement dying, where a lot of times, I know for myself, my old pattern was when the excitement died, I went on to the next guy and the next, you know. Right. That was a long time ago when I was younger, but that does seem to be something that happens with a lot of people. Excitement dies, male or female, and then you're like, okay, it's over, let's move on. So right. What do you have to say about that?
I did it myself, so I'm not saying I'm immune to this, so I know it's experience.
Right.
That was the biggest... One of the biggest pieces of the work I was doing the last since 2007, so it's been 7 years now of my own journey on and off, which is studying the masculine and feminine. If you can relate the idea of masculine and feminine to like poles on a magnet, so north pole, south pole of magnets, when it's a strong magnet, it's very attractive to each other. The north and south poles are very magnetic. But if the magnets are demagnetized for some reason, because they've either just been around for a long time or they've been around other magnets where the poles have been sitting close enough to each other to just slowly diminish the polarity, they're not as attractive. Same thing is true in the masculine and feminine relationship. And it's not true of just straight relationships. It applies to gay ones too, because every relationship has a masculine and feminine polarity. It's not gender-based. It's an energy-based. So beware of that first. Mm-hmm. So what attracts us initially is often the chemistry between us, in quotes, which is chemicals in the body, in the mind. But also it's that fact we're attracted to the energy of the other person. And so a masculine energy is not attracted to a masculine energy except as brotherhood or working together in team. But a masculine or even to be competitors or to combat each other. But what attracts a masculine energy is a feminine energy. And so we have inside of us a blend of masculine and feminine energy that adds up to 100% because we're 100% whole as we are. So we are, for example, I'm probably more around the 70-30% or 75-25%, where it's 75% masculine, 25% feminine. But it's not locked there. But I generally reside naturally in that place. I was the other way around most of the time in my younger years because I was in the caring, compassionate counseling folks, which is a feminine energy. Holding space, loving, caring place, which is really feminine juice. The decisive energy, getting things done, that's the masculine polarity. So I have had to grow into that over the years as I realized I was out of alignment with my own natural tendency. So anyway, that's a whole other piece. But let me get back to the masculine and feminine piece. So... When I'm in my balanced natural state of being around 75-25% masculine and feminine, my ideal partner would be the opposite of that. So a woman who's in a 75% feminine, 25% masculine. It's kind of like the reciprocal. Rarely, if ever, is anybody 100% one, 100% the other. In fact, that's dysfunctional anyway. You need to have the both inside of us as a natural way of being. And again, it fluctuates. So to get to one quick sidebar, if I'm in a relationship with a woman and we're both working on the bills, we're both in our masculine because we're both doing things that are sequential, getting things done, linear, getting results. That's a masculine thing. If we're both around a baby together, we could both be in a feminine at the same time because it's a nurturing, loving space. So it doesn't change the relationship, it just changes the energy we approach with. So I want to let you know there is that access inside to change our polarity when you need it in that moment. But when it comes to sexual attraction and to why we want to be together, the balance or the attraction is a masculine-feminine polarity that is the more extreme, the more magnetic, the more attractive like magnets are. So if over a period of time the magnetism starts to fade, the attraction starts to fade, the polarity is no longer there, if it's not retrievable, then yes, then leaving is kind of the only option. But the truth is it's like a rechargeable battery. It can be restored like a battery can be. If a battery is in a drawer with another battery, sorry, if a magnet is in a drawer with another magnet and the magnetism starts to fade because they're together all the time, if you take them apart and you start to remagnetize them, you can restore the magnetism again. In relationships for people, we can do the same thing. So if a partnership is starting to have a diminishment of the juice, of the passion, of the excitement, the best thing is first to become aware of it. And the second thing is to recharge the batteries. How do you do that? For women, it's to do feminine practice things that restore them. Go into the spa, because a lot of times women lose their feminine polarity because they're busy doing housework or they're busy in the business world or they're busy getting things done. They're competing with the men. So they're basically in the masculine, which there's a certain titillation to that in a relationship, but you can't sustain it that way. So what a woman ideally used to do is to do things that are nurturing to her feminine, which can be things like going to the spa, going shopping, going dancing, doing things that are reducing up the feminine energy, which is the movement energy, the energy of flow and grace and light and brightness. The masculine on the other side, for us as men, when we want to reconnect to our batteries, the best thing to do is to go out and do something combative, like sports with other men, or to go camping, or to go on a vision quest, a solo quest, go camping on our own. These things can recharge our masculine batteries because they put us back into that polarity which strengthens who we are. And then when we come back together again in partnership, there's much more attraction. This is especially true with couples that work and live together. So it's important they have to have a part-time to restore their own polarity and recharge the batteries. Otherwise, it will simply not last. I mean, they become best buddies, they're like dressing alike, and there's no sex anymore because they've lost that juice. So it's good to have time apart.
Oh my God, you covered that so well, because every time I was just about to have a question, you answered it. I'm like, you know, it was like he just covered every point. But you know what I'm hearing from it too, because maybe the spa isn't for everyone or sports isn't for every guy, but you know, it's finding what it is that you can do to be on your own. I feel like we don't really do a lot of times that self-work or self-care because we're caught up in family, we're caught up in work. And so, you know, I feel like even just a little bit of separation, because my pattern in relationships was always being with the person too much. And that's not good either, as much as it may feel good. So it's having that time away where you're doing something for yourself outside of the relationship that I feel also recharges the battery to then come back in and begin to create a little bit of that polarity.
Absolutely, yes.
But there is a woman in the chat room that, on a totally different note, this is interesting though. Her name is Lisa. She said, I love this. Good morning, Tina and Dr. Love. So you're Dr. Love. I love that, Lisa. She goes, my relationship question is, how do you know though when a relationship marriage is beyond repair? Is it years without intimacy, disrespect, sleeping in separate beds, nothing in common, gender role issues? All relationships have challenges, but at what point can you still, and she puts in big words, fix it when living like roommates is if you're roommate, so in other words, she's saying, when do you know that it's done?
One of my teachers said before that the opposite of love is not hate, it's apathy. So the truth about this in relationship is that, because if we're upset with our partners because we care about what's going on, so there's still love there. It may not be translatable, but it's something to be aware of so they can make a choice. If there's no desire on either partner to make the relationship work, then yes, it's over, because it's about choices. I won't say any relationship is salvageable, but if the partners, both partners, not just one, are desiring to reduce and renew the relationship and they're willing to do the work together or separately, then it's possible to save the relationship. But it's about choice points. And all those things you mentioned are symptoms of a bigger thing, bigger piece, which is the love there. It is the desire there to have a passionate sexual and romantic relationship or just a friendship.
Right.
So it's about the choice point. So I don't have an easy answer to the question, except to say it is possible, yes, if both partners want to do the work to get there. But it may be the point where they don't feel the energy is there and they don't want to, which is understandable. But it's, again, right, the choice for the partnership.
And even just from a totally different standpoint, as I read the question for Lisa, it does feel like it, even by the question alone, that she's done or one of them is done. But what I love that you said, Barry, because so often I tend to get a lot of relationships when people call in for a reading from me. And I love what you said, because I'm never going to be that person that says you need to leave your husband, unless it's something abusive, because one, right, it's just unethical for me to do that. A lot of it's my practitioner training at Agape, which we share, but I too believe that you can make it work. But it's just nice confirmation to hear you say both parties need to want to work on themselves, work together in some way, shape, or form. And sometimes you need to exhaust all of that to realize, wow, I've done everything I can, and now it's time to release it if it gets to that point. So
absolutely, yeah.
Now, on a totally different note, we have Alex who wrote in getting back to the patterns of feeling being desperate and settling in a relationship. So yeah, that it's a completely different note. It's similar to, I think, what Lisa's saying. But she's saying it's about breaking the pattern where we sometimes feel desperate and go for something that doesn't serve us. And she goes on to say that she married the first person that asked because she thought she was never going to get asked again. And then she spent her marriage trying to make him happy, lost herself in the process. When she got divorced, she saw the same pattern happen again and ended up she'd be so lonely and the same thing, doing all these things for him and ended up again alone with no power. But now, even though she's aware of that, she's feeling still vulnerable and the pattern's still there. So what would you say to some, I'm sure other people can relate to that, settling and feeling desperate for someone.
Well, that's, I want to be nice how I say this, but the truth is that we all deserve love. To be simple, we all have that ability. In this, so to be desperate is a false belief. Just putting that simply. However, that's very cursory to say that. My experience of working with clients and my own place where I personally felt like the time was running out, the need was there, I had to be with somebody. The settling energy is often because the love inside is missing. So, one thing I had to come to terms with myself to have a relationship again. I have to be willing to not have a relationship again, if that makes any sense.
It does.
Because the reason being is that, this is one of my favorite, how do you say this? This is one of the most annoying things I discover, is this thing about codependence. Mm-hmm. It's tempting, excuse me, it's tempting, amazing to choke on that one. It's interesting for me to watch people choose relationships that don't serve them because they want to be in the love at the sacrifice of their own self-esteem or their own desires. And codependence is one of those things where we're looking for the other person to make us feel better. So if we're desperate or needy, think we're not going to get a relationship, if the other person says yes, that satisfies that piece then they must believe in us, I'm okay now. That's codependence. And in my book, in my work, I talk about the evolution from codependence through independence, not staying there, which is what happened back in the 70s and 80s in relationships a lot, where we had independence of bank accounts and lifestyles and apartments and everything else. The true joy of relationships when you move into interdependence, where we have autonomy, but we get so much value from the other person. So we're not looking at the other person to make everything work. We're looking for the other person to add to our lives because we are already, as I mentioned earlier, 100% ourselves. So if we're walking around in life being at 70% ourselves and going, where's my other 30%? You're never going to be fulfilled because the other person will never be that 30% perfectly. So that need to have whatever shows up be the one that works is an error in approach, to be simple. But it's actually dysfunctional because it's an old pattern that is about the other person makes us feel better versus we feel good in ourselves. It really comes back to self-love, to be really blunt.
Right. And I feel too, Barry, that you know, for so many people, myself included, for a long time when I was younger, there's this fear of being alone. And so sometimes even when we think that we're alone, we do jump into some kind of way to distract ourselves, be it a romantic relationship or just any kind of other activity to get to really keep from us doing that inner work out of fear of perhaps what we're going to find. And what's interesting is it kind of goes right into the next question from Dee. She said, mine is geared more towards my relationship with myself. So I feel like this could help Alex also. How do we really develop a loving relationship with ourselves? She says, I feel as people we carry so much from so many different relationships, parents, siblings, etc. But how do we really develop that relationship with ourselves?
The simple answer I said before is self-love. But the way to get there, there's so many different paths to get there. Part of it is the way we take care of ourselves physically, but really comes to also how we talk to ourselves and how we love ourselves emotionally. How do we connect on those levels? Because I know people who are, there are people I know who are fitness models, who are buff and take care of themselves, who really don't want a business and really kick butt in the world, but their internal story doesn't match that. Because they don't love who they are independent of the circumstance. In fact, sometimes I see people in the world who are overachieving in certain areas, like bodybuilding perhaps, or in business, or in other areas, where they're continually trying to make themselves feel better by doing something more and more in one area and never feeling fulfilled. So it works on every area of life that we are sometimes forgetting to start inside with loving ourselves. So the way to have that place inside fulfilled is to really do things that nurture who we are, whether it's through meditation or exercise or diet, or simply to do affirmations or to simply have a dialogue with ourselves to answer the questions or to nurture the younger part of ourselves. And for a lot of people, it's that youngest age before 5 or 6 years old, as I mentioned earlier, that was never felt loved from our parents, that we can love ourselves. By loving that younger child inside of ourselves, the inner child work is very generic, but it's kind of that idea, then we fulfill the need to be loved, so we're not looking somewhere else to be loved. So that's one of the pivot points, is to be in relationship with ourselves and to be in love with ourselves, not in an egotistical or a narcissistic way, but to be in love because we deserve the love of ourselves first before we love anybody else. And that's a big key, right, by the way.
Right. And I love when I had Reverend Nirvana on the show a few weeks ago, he said, have a love affair with the divine.
Indeed.
Fall in love with her. And he always says it as her, but, you know, it's all ways of saying the same thing. There is one more question that I do want to get to, but I wanted to just make sure we highlight your book. And before we talk about your book, The Romance Blueprint, because I feel like this is a course that you offer, is some of the things in these questions, is that part of the Romance Blueprint? And can you share with us what that blueprint is, if people are interested?
A lot of what we talked about this show so far is in the program. Yes, come this way. It's my teachings distilled into a program. The Romance Blueprint is a program I basically wrote before and then after the book. So they play tandem in my consciousness as I was creating and writing. It's a 90-day program I created that basically takes my clients, and it's designed for women, not for men. Unfortunately, I haven't got a men's version because men generally can't focus for 3 months in a row anyway. Sorry, that was a little self-deprecating humor.
I love it.
But basically, the program is designed for women because it helps women build their feminine strength. It's kind of basically, as I mentioned, which I think it covered all three, to be clear about what you want in your life, you've got to have a vision and create that and know what it is. You're also going to clear about your history and what you've been doing in the past. You can make peace with that. And also to love who you are in the present. Those three elements I mentioned through the show are all in the program because those are really clearly are what I believe are the pivot points for everything in our lives. So over the 90-day program, every week, my clients who use it, because they love, they get a practice every week that takes them through each of these different elements. So they're getting clear about what they want to create a relationship. And then, because they do it the first week, over the next 12 weeks, they walk into that relationship and experience it over 12 weeks to deeper and deeper levels so they know energetically how it feels to be there. At the same time, they're going through the history to including the most recent relationship, their first relationship, and their parental relationships, making peace with those so they can actually step into freedom from the history so they can choose more clearly what they want to have. And the third element, again, as I mentioned, is about self-love, about practices that really generate and build their feminine feminine energy and their love for themselves, so they're no longer looking for a relationship to fill them up, looking for a relationship to add to their lives beyond who they are. And that's a healthy way of doing relationships. So the program is designed for women. It's 90 days. It's all done online, so they get an email every week with their next assignments, like Mission Impossible, but it's very possible. And it completes. The program offers flavors with coaching as well. If they want to find out, they can go to the page where that is to find out more about it. But it's really my passion to offer that distillation in a way that really lands for my clients.
Well, I already posted it in the chat room. I posted your book and the Romance Blueprint. And, you know, what it comes down to, too, is we have to work on ourselves. And sometimes people don't want to do that. And look, I mean, I know for myself, I've been through challenges and struggles. So have we all. But when it comes down to something like this, if you want to meet that soul partner, you have to be willing to do the work. But I love that you have this program that's going to help people and support people. On a different note, to get to this question, first I wanted to just bring to how our first relationship affects relationships. One, and it's going to carry into my question, is because my first relationship, I was so young, I was so naive, I was so innocent, and I fell for someone. Now, as an adult looking back, I laugh. It's a joke. But you know what? It was not a joke when I was young, and this little innocent girl, and I fell deeply in love, didn't know any better to have my guard up, and I just went completely in. I was in high school, and, you know, aside from it being 2 months, so that it felt like 2 years, you know, he completely broke my heart. And then everything else, as far as ended up being a liar, was cheating, you know, all of that, which set the tone for me to be not trusting, which set the tone for me to start picking people that were safe. And so I think that sometimes this becomes a pattern in our relationships as well, which carries me into the question by Shelley, who talks about her husband and her experiencing difficulty because she says he had a friendship with a woman and he cheated on her in the past. So she says, I've been told it was not sexual but physical. This woman would always flirt and touch my husband. I've come from a broken home. My father was unfaithful. So there's another pattern, so different from mine, but hers is from the home. Mm-hmm. And she says, I'm having a hard time trusting anyone, and it's causing a great difficulty in my marriage and life. Can you help me? So I know I kind of gave you a lot right there, but it's all around cheating and not trusting and how that affects.
She very, very clearly stated what the cause was, because the thing goes back to her relationship with her father. And this is the thing I talk about in my work and in my book and everything I work with people is that if you're having a pattern with your current relationship, 9 times out of 10, it's not the relationship you're in the where it started. It started as a resonance for something from your history. And I talk about this in a lot of areas, but to get to the point of this, is that until she has forgiveness for herself as a kid and forgiveness for her father for what he did, the likelihood of her continuing her relationship with her husband is going to be the same. If she makes peace with her own self and her dad, then it's quite likely her relationship with her husband will either will change or she will leave because she'll decide she values herself more than what she's getting if he's not willing to change. But 90% of the time, having made peace with history, the present will change as well. It's like you rewrite your own history that way. So it's making peace with herself and having love for her young self who didn't know any better, and having love for her father who made the best choice he could, even though he made mistakes and did what he did. If she can make peace with that, then the relationship with the husband can likely shift.
Wow, I love that, because, you know, even A Course in Miracles says we're never upset for the reason we think.
True.
You know, and that kind of ties into anything in a relationship. It's triggering something that's deeper. And so I love, even, you know, for Shelley or anyone out there that's having trusting issues, you know, you're going to have to put in the inner work, but you can get support, be it through Barry or a friend or, you know, anyone out there. But you have to be willing to really go deep and really, really touch in with those inner relationships. Like you said, the one with the father is probably the most important.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe, Barry, that we're almost out of time here.
Oh, wow. Ah.
So can you just tell our listeners how they can reach you? I mean, I've posted in the chat room, but not everybody's in the chat room. So how can they find you?
My main site, they can find out more about me just by going straight there, is theloveconfidant.com. That's where my launch video, the opening video, and also an invitation for a free e-course I have. If you want to go straight to the program, which I talked about, the Romance Blueprint, you just go to romanceblueprint.com. That's the page on my website. My book is 50waystolovyourlover.com, or it's on the same website. Everything's in one place, which is theloveconfidant.com. That's probably the best way to find me. And then on my website, there are links to my Facebook and Twitter and everything else.
Okay, beautiful. So I have that posted in the chat room. This show will be replayed later at 6 p.m. Eastern, and then there's always the archive that will be available. Barry, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. And for those of you out there listening, as I mentioned before, Barry has been my personal counselor years ago that helped me through so much. And if he helped me years ago through so much, I can only imagine how, you know, he can just really boost and help you on your journey if that's something that you're looking for. So please check his website out or get his book, 50 Ways to Love Your Lover, or he's got all these videos on his website to get even more information, so you can check him out. I'm so grateful again to Scott, my producer, so grateful for everyone in the chat room listening and those of you that are listening at home. Remember, it is 1-2 day over on 1-2listen.com. I will be over there to support you. I'm so grateful for this opportunity to connect with you, to talk about relationships. And Barry, I'm going to have you back if that's okay.
Oh, I think I can do that.
Oh, okay, beautiful. So thank you all so much for listening. This has been the Magic Hour right here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way we bring magic into our relationships. Thank you so much and have a beautiful day. Bye-bye.
When a true classic really moves you, it tends to continue to move you for years to come. Regardless of your age, the Sound of Hope never really gets old. And though I'm old enough to remember where I was when Diana Ross belted out this iconic opening,
if you need me,
a part of me is young enough to still be moved by the meaning of someone being there when I need them. Me and my 1-2 family want to remind you that we have dedicated our lives to the learning the skills that allow us to reach you and to be there if you need us. From astrology to clairvoyance to life coaching, my team is tough enough to not only weather their life storms, but yours as well. So if you need us, call us. You know the rest. 1-2listen.com. Our strength is in our oneness.
Guess what? Jupiter, the planet of expansion, is in self-expressive and very playful Leo until August of 2015. Are you ready for some risky business? It's time for your inner child to come out and play. Let's get visible. Need some help? How about trying out a class on 1-2 Academy or talking to an advisor on 1-2listen.com? We are open 24/7, and you can even schedule a call at a time that's good for you. Life is not a spectator sport. It's time to suit up and jump in the game. This is C.A. Brooks, and you are listening to 1-2 Radio, changing the way we listen to the world.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam. And admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming. Was the loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing. from senators. Congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't lock up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changin'.